Grace, mercy, and peace are ours this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, it's that time of year. I don't know if you've counted or not, but there are 61 days until Call Day. Some of you already knew that. Some of you have been counting for weeks now. Some of you have been counting for months now. Some of you started counting when you walked on campus for the first time. And why not? Really, that's why we come here. We come to be trained in theology. We come to be trained in the Word of God so that we can go out among the people of God to witness to His great love for them and to be there and to care for them. And it's an exciting thing. It's a wonderful thing. And it's something to look forward to. You're going to have the opportunity to be there with God's people in the very, very best moments of their lives. You're going to be there with that young couple as they take and they watch and they look at their love suddenly given form, wrapped up in flesh of their flesh and bone of their bone, and taking its first breaths, and you're going to hold new life in your hands. And you're going to take that same child and you're going to hold her as you wash her with water, with the Word, the waters of baptism, and you're going to hold eternal life in your hands. You're going to time after time smile to yourself as that child grows in years and in wisdom and in faith and hears from you over and over and over again that she is precious and special and that she has been redeemed by a God of grace. You're going to stand with that child before the people of God as she confirms those same words that you spoke for her in her baptism and claims that faith, that doctrine is her own. You're going to be with that child as she kneels for the first time and extends her hand to receive Christ's very body and blood, inexplicably somehow wrapped up in just mundane bread and wine. And you're going to spend years talking to her about love, faith, and family. And you're going to stand and watch as she walks down the aisle to take her place beside the man who will be her husband. You are going to get to be there at the very, very best of times. And you're going to get to be there at the very worst of times. The night will come when the phone will ring at 3 a.m. and will summon you to the local hospital to be at a member's bedside. The night will come when the young mother calls you to say that her marriage is over and she and her kids are alone. There will come nights when you'll find yourself sleeping in bits and pieces on the couch in an intensive care waiting room, because you know that at any moment the time might draw near that you need to be there. You will know the heartache of watching doctors and nurses work frantically to save the life of somebody you love. And you will probably know the heartache of watching doctors and nurses stop working frantically. Save the life of someone you love. You will be there for the people of God in the very best of times, and you will be there in the very worst of times. And in the midst of all of that, you will be life. You will be that aroma, Paul calls it, that scent of life. In the midst of all of the things that happen in day-to-day living, you're going to be there. You're going to be in the midst of that. You're going to be that physical representation of the life that God has given us, the reminder that we are not alone and that we are redeemed. Now, there will be those who don't accept that. There will be those that by their own choice, by their own sin, refuse to hear the word of God, refuse to hear the words of grace and of forgiveness, and hold on too tightly to the things that bind us to this world, who hold on too tightly to their own death. And there will be those among them to whom your very presence will be offensive. The very fact that you live and breathe and celebrate the God of grace and the God of life will bother them in ways that they can't define. And to them, your presence will be death. And you're going to go on witnessing to them and praying for them and loving them in the hopes that they might come to know that what they see as death really is life. What they see as destruction really is salvation. Paul asks, and who is adequate to such a thing? Who is sufficient? And it's easy to look in the mirror and to think about all the things that lay before you and all the challenges in ministry and to think that perhaps you're completely inadequate to be able to handle this. And I have good news for you this morning. You are. And there's no way to be enough. But it is God who makes us sufficient. It is God who prepares us. And it is God who works through us. And we don't do this like so many people do it for financial gain, as we see in the church today, those who would prostitute the word of God and make it into something it's not in the hopes of somehow benefiting in this time and in this place. We do it because we know it's not about us. It's about the truth. It's about the creator of the universe who has brought each and every one of us here and is even now preparing us and sending us out to serve his people, to be that breath of life, to be that scent of life among them, to remind them, to strengthen them, to share with them, to be in community with them, and to be the very reminder, the very hope of life himself.